Well, praise the Lord for that special. That just made that CD a lot more valuable. Amen. There's no doubt about that. I think you're going to enjoy that. And those three girls, they have always been a blessing, but all three of them went to Bible college. They married some godly young men, and they're serving the Lord in ministry today. And what a blessing they've been. All right, well, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, look with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And the good news of his coming. What a blessing that was to understand what the Bible said about his birth and how it was the great good tidings given to by the angels and by the star and pointing to the announcement of the coming of Christ. And here, in this is John's recording of the birth of Christ, the coming of Christ. And what a blessing it is to be able to read this and realize what his coming reveals to us. And we'll be looking at this, and I believe it'll be a help to you tonight. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to drop down to the key verse we're going to be preaching on tonight is verse 14. John chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. Now, verse 14, it tells us that the Word was Jesus Christ and that he was made flesh. And so verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we thank you for the blessings that we've already received here today. This morning's services, and what a blessing to just sense your presence in this place. Then for those that are here tonight who had the opportunity and took advantage of their opportunity to be back in services, and it's already been a blessing just being here tonight, and thank you for what we've received. But now as we open up the scriptures once again, I just pray, God, that you would anoint the preaching of thy word and speak to us tonight, giving us that spiritual help that we have need of. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. In his coming, it reveals three things about God. Now, we know that the Bible says that in 1 John that there's three that make up God, and we know that we have the Trinity, which is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and each one of these are God, but it's God in three persons. So most of us here tonight would understand about the Trinity. And matter of fact, when Jesus gave instructions to the church to baptize those that would believe and receive him as Savior, then they were to be baptized, identifying with him, but also identifying with the Trinity. They were to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so God wants every believer to identify not only with Jesus Christ, but identify with the Trinity of God. And so there's no doubt about that. But in this, in his coming, the Bible says that, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus Christ, born, and then lived a sinless life for some 33 years. "And we," that is humanity, "beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." The first thing that we find here in John chapter 1 and verse 14 is that we beheld his glory. Jesus came to reveal God's glory. That is his greatness, and who he is. And all the attributes of God, we know that there's many, but we know that he has the attributes of omniscience. The Bible says in the beginning of time, not there is no beginning to God. But when God decided to make the world and he created things, then he created time. The understanding of time came when God created humanity. so that we would be aware of time, because as God designed humanity, then he designed time, and in time, the wisdom of God is revealed as to what God's plan for humanity is all about. And when Jesus Christ came, we know that in the fullness of time, he came born of a virgin. The Bible tells us that in the book of Galatians. And so in the fullness of time, when God's design and his timing was ready, then he sent his son. And so we understand that everything up to some 2,000 years ago that took place on planet Earth concerning humanity was designed in a time frame by God. And as we see that, we think of the overwhelming glory of the omniscience of God. A God that's all-knowing. A God that understands everything. He's omniscient. In the fullness of time, he came. And the Bible says, in the beginning, he was there. Jesus Christ has always been. But in his coming, we beheld his glory as of the glory of the Father, which is God. It was God manifest in the flesh, and through all of his teachings and all of his examples and everything that he revealed, we find his omniscience. We find that God's omnipotent. Through Jesus Christ, we find that God's power is limitless. There's nothing that God cannot do. Therefore, if we are connected to God, then in Christ, I can do all things. There's nothing that God wants me to do that I cannot do, because Jesus Christ revealed God's omnipotence in his coming. And we beheld that. We beheld how that he came and started performing these miracles. And he actually raised the dead back to life again. Made the blind to see. Those that were been born blind. He gave sight to the blind. And we beheld that, and we have it recorded in the Gospels as we look and we read and we study it. Through his coming, he reveals the very glory of God in his omniscience and his omnipotence and in his holiness. For he had no sin. An example to you and I today that we are not bound to sin. We can overcome sin as long as we're yielding to the Spirit of God. Because his power is within us, his strength is within us, his omniscience is within us. And so as we say, focus on Jesus Christ, we will not sin. It's only when we turn away from his omniscience and we turn away from his omnipotence and we turn away from his holiness, that we turn away from his glory, that we find ourselves doing things that we should not be doing. He came to reveal God's glory. We would never be able to relate to God if it were not for Christ. We would be worshiping many gods, as those that have no understanding of Christ do. They worship, they look, turn the sun into a god, and there's figures there's got to be some kind of a god that could be able to keep the sun shining. They got the god of the rivers and the god of this and the god of that. And that's just for humanity. That's where the mind would go if it were not for the Word. The Old Testament Word and then the Word becoming flesh. We cannot relate to God. If we're not for Christ's coming, we cannot know God. For he is our only access to Heavenly Father. The only access. And today we know that the Bible says he ever liveth today to make intercession for us, because no one can come unto the Father but by and through the Son. Because in Christ we beheld his God's glory. I love that. But not only did we beheld his glory, he also goes on, he says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. In Christ's coming, we find the grace of God revealed. The definition of grace, the best definition you could have is, we could have, is God's love and kindness toward man, unmerited favor. Not that we deserve it. Through Jesus Christ, we find God's love. Through Jesus Christ, we find God's kindness to forgive the unforgivable. We don't merit a second chance, but through Christ we find that we can have a second beginning, a new beginning. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved." If Christ had not come, we would not know of God's saving grace. It's always been God's plan that we are saved by grace through faith. Old Testament, the idea of His coming, the idea of the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament prophets and everything that was presented to them was in hope of the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah. And through the Messiah and the coming Christ, they would reveal, it would reveal the very grace of God to them. And they were saved by having faith that God is going to send His Son, that the Messiah would come. And so even the Old Testament, the idea of Christ's coming was what helped them to come to the place where they could understand the very grace of God that would lead to everlasting life. And then as He did come some 2,000 years ago, and as He ascended up to heaven, and then from that time forward, it is looking to Christ and His coming that allows us to understand the fullness of God's grace. And without that, we would not know of God's saving. That grace, that because of that, we couldn't get saved. But because He did come, we know of God's glory. Because He did come, we know of God's grace. And lastly, not only full of grace, and this is possibly something that we need to grasp here tonight. Because He came, we have truth. Because He was full of truth. Truth speaks of doctrine. Doctrine is important. Possibly the most important thing for us to understand today is the doctrines. It's what the truths of God, what God says. Not humanism and not philosophies and not religion. This world does not need more religion. This world needs more doctrines of Christ. Truth speaks of doctrine. Truth speaks of justice. Truth speaks of judgment. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. As Jesus Christ came full of truth, He established the truth. He revealed that He was the truth. And in that truth, He established His church. So that the church then would represent the truth. In chapters 3, we find He gives instructions for the leadership of the church. But we get down to verse 15 and 16, and He says this, "But if I tarry long," as Paul's writing to Timothy, "but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So because He came, He established His church, and because He established His church, He gave the church the doctrines of God, and the true church has His doctrine, and if you have His doctrine, listen to me, you have truth. Yeah. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. That's the life of Christ. Because He came, because He established His church, we can have truth. Truth concerning the past. Who do I believe? There was no eyewitnesses except for one on how things come together in the very beginning. There's a lot of philosophies. There's a lot of thoughts on how the world came to an existence and how humanity came into existence. But the only one that was there in the beginning was the Word. And because of the Word, now we have truth concerning the past. We have truth concerning what happened in the very beginning. We don't have to live by philosophy of humanism and the philosophies of man. We don't have to live by religious thoughts. We can take the very words of God and we can know exactly where we came from. We can know exactly where we're at today. Today, God designed time. It's the glory of God to understand that there is a perfect, intelligent design to what has taken place on planet Earth. What took place in the beginning, what's taken place today, and what will take place tomorrow and the next day, all the way through eternity. We can have the joy of the Lord because we have the truths of God, and we can base our beliefs on that which is factual. We can base our beliefs on that which God has preserved for us. We can base our belief because Jesus came. We don't have a dead Savior. We don't have just a God of the sun or a God of the moon. We have the only true and living God because He came. Christ, because of Christ, we have truth. Psalms chapter 85. We're going to close here. Psalms chapter 85. Truth concerning past, truth concerning present, truth concerning future. Psalms 85 and verse 8. The psalmist writes, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They go hand in hand. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps. We know God's will. And we can know God's ways because of Christ's coming. We have the truth. If Christ had not come, we wouldn't know of God's glory. We would not know of God's grace. And we would not know of God's truth. But He did come. Not only did He come, He paid our debt for sin. And He wants us to remember that. And that's why He gave to His church the ordinance of communion. Tonight, possibly more than any other time that you've taken communion, let's truly remember what Christ has brought to us in His coming, in His sacrifice on Calvary's cross, in His resurrection, and that which He still has to bring to us. I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you thankful tonight for Jesus Christ? On this Christmas day and on the Lord's day, have you just thanked God for His glory that Christ revealed to us? Have you thanked God for His grace, unmerited favor? And have you thanked God for His truths? Wow. What a difference it'll make if we truly remember and are thankful for what Christ has brought to us. Several already at the altar. In just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation song. After that, we're going to have the deacons bring in the communion, and we'll study a little bit about the communion. But if there's anything between you and God, church member, that would be a hindrance to your walk with God, bring that to this altar tonight. Confess and forsake it so that you might be able to have communion and let it strengthen you in your walk with Christ. Don't leave out on communion because there's something in your life that needs to be confessed. The altar call is open. Let's draw close to the Lord this evening. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for all that you have revealed to us that benefits us because of your coming. And we know there was great sacrifices. I don't believe that we'll ever understand it this side of heaven, just all the sacrifices made. But we know there was great sacrifices made. And it was because of your love for humanity, and because that there was no other way. And we thank you for your willingness to sacrifice. Thank you tonight for salvation. Thank you tonight for the cross. I pray that we would, as a church tonight, truly remember and be drawn closer to you. Bless in this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray.